Welcome, everybody, to On a Date, Kinda Nervous podcast. Yes. Wow.
First episode, baby.
First episode. It's been a year in the making.
Yes.
And here we are. I am one of your hosts, Jay Lamar, executive matchmaker, dating coach.
Come on, run that resume.
Producer. I can go on and on and on. But I am so excited to be a host here on a Date, Kinda Nervous podcast.
Wonderful. I'm excited.
Who's my co-host?
Come on.
Who's my co-host?
It's your co-host. It's your favorite friendly black hottie from the internet space. I'm Nathan, and it's so lovely to meet y'all. We're so happy to have y'all here with us. And we're going to get into some good stuff, good topics today.
Yeah. So the purpose of On a Date, Kinda Nervous podcast is to create a safe space to talk about dating, love, relationship, sex. You lit up with that one. Sex. And just create a safe space to have that discussion.
Right.
Because there's so many things that are being discussed on social media. Mm-hmm. There's so much stuff being discussed in our group chats, in our friend circles. So this is a safe space for people just to come and have those discussions.
Have a good time.
We will not be the only hosts. Yes. We will be here every episode.
Yeah.
The checks have cleared. We'll be here every episode. Okay. Contracts renewed. We not going nowhere. However, we will have singles come on our podcast.
Mm-hmm. Special guests.
Special guests. And talk about their dating experiences.
Yes.
And it's going to be quite a journey and quite a ride. And we are just so thankful that we are sitting in these seats to really be a reflection and I feel like create the discussion of what dating is like from a black gay perspective.
And we're going to have some fine men on here, y'all, so.
Yes. You know, the lineup is hot.
It's
hot
and steamy.
I've never slept with any of them.
Okay. I don't understand. Why would you say that? What that got to do with it?
So, you know what? I think that, let's get into our first question.
Let's get into it. Start us off, baby.
Start us off. Yeah, so. If you had to fill out a dating app profile, what are some of the things that will be listed on your dating app profile?
Are we talking about a dating app or are we talking about one of them little apps?
I said a dating app. Okay. We ain't said about the app. You know what I'm saying? We ain't said about the app yet.
Well, for my dating apps, I usually just write, you know, I'm a charismatic potty mouth from New York. You know, I'm being held hostage in LA, following dreams, a pleasure seeker. Those are usually things that I just put on my dating app profiles. What about you, Boo?
For me, I always list the fact that I'm a Taurus. Like, I think that is, you know, zodiac signs are important to me.
We match. I'm a Scorpio.
You right with that? So I always list that I'm a Taurus, but then I do go into, I always do like the greater than less than.
What's that?
So I always do like comparison. Like,
oh, okay.
You know, I prefer Beyonce over anybody else. You know, if I had to choose between Brandy and Monica, you know, I'm going to go hard for Monica Denise. I like those type of things on my dating apps because I feel like, not dating apps.
Apps.
But on my dating app profile, because I feel like it creates discussion. Also, probably.
And controversy.
Discussion.
Discussion. Okay.
But I feel like just, you know, as a dating tip for anybody out there, like putting those things on your dating app profile allows people to not only get to know you, but also ask you questions.
Yes.
Like, why do you prefer Monica over Brandy? You know what I'm saying? Why is Beyonce the queen of all queens when it comes to this industry?
Mm.
You know, and so on and so forth. I also list like what I'm looking for.
Okay.
So,
which is,
you know, I'm single.
Okay.
We're going to get into that.
Okay. Because
today's episode is, do you know why you're single?
Do you know why you're single?
Okay. And then, you know, and what I'm looking for.
Okay.
So I think let's just jump right into.
Let's do it. So, okay. Talk to me about why you're single.
For me, I have been single for going on 10 years.
Mm.
The journey for me being single was so personal.
Mm.
It was something that I had to do.
Right.
I was in multiple relationships throughout my 20s.
Okay.
I was engaged multiple times in my 20s. And when that last engagement ended, I made a promise to myself that I had to acknowledge the fact that I was the common denominator in those relationships. Mm. Not that I did anything wrong. I think the only thing that I did wrong was I did not love myself first.
Mm.
So I made a promise to myself that, hey, you're going to go to therapy. You're going to spend the rest of your 30s single. When you hit 30, revisit the conversation of relationship.
Yeah.
And then see where you are.
Yeah.
I did that. I got to 30.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for the responsibility of loving somebody else because there was still work to do for me to love myself. I think the pandemic hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I turned, I think 32, 33 during the pandemic. And I'm like, am I really ready for a relationship? You know, and I think spending that time alone allowed me to do more work, allowed me to really love on myself, take care of myself. And then I think maybe about 2 years ago,
I decided you got ready.
I said, I'm ready for a relationship. So yeah. I put myself out there a little bit more, as you know, being one of my close friends. And I feel like I started to date more with intention, still having fun, but date with intention. And I learned that there are a lot of people out here that don't date with intention. And I think that has made the dating process a little bit more difficult. Yeah. You know, I think in my profession with talking to people, people always say, dating pool got piss in it, you know. Piss, and I'll be like, okay, let's see what it's really giving. It. It's a lot going on. and especially, I think, the city that we live in LA, it's a lot going on. People are not really seeking partnership here as much. But I think for me, the reason why I'm single right now is because I just started putting myself out there a little bit more. And I finally decided what I want.
Okay.
I'm not settling for anything less. And I know for a fact going into my next partnership that I want that to be my last partnership. I want that to be my forever partnership. But I want to make sure that I still have my individuality.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that the love for myself is first. Because if I can't love myself, how can I love you?
Period.
So why are you single?
That is a very good
question. You're so beautiful. Why are you single?
I think I'm in like a place of a crossroads.
Okay.
So unlike you, and I think like a lot of black gay men, I have never been in a relationship before.
Wow.
How
old are you?
I'm 32. And I'm in a particular predicament because I've been openly gay since I was 15.
Wow.
So I've spent a lot of my life, a lot of my like teen years and in my 20s looking and searching for a boyfriend. I always wanted to be in a relationship. And then it's so funny, the pandemic hit. And during the pandemic, I was already in therapy. I started going to therapy in 2018. I've been with my therapist shout out to Steven. He's amazing. I've been with him for about 6 years now. And, you know, I've been working through like select and different issues. And I think I'm in a peculiar place right now because I've never had an experience love. So I think I'm in an interesting place where I don't really know what I'm missing.
Right.
And being in LA and then the significance of being in LA and being a dream chaser and focusing on a lot of different things like that, I don't really prioritize my dating life. I mean, I'm interested in getting to know people, but like you say, the intention, you know what I mean? People are not intentional, so then you become unintentional as well.
Yeah.
And then it's just like a tug and pull. I mean, I'm working through it. I go on dates here and there, but sometimes they really just never pop. But I'm open. I'm not closed off to the idea of being with someone and looking for someone. But you know me, I have a very short fuse and a very short patience. And if it's not working for me if it's not working for me early, it's clipped. I don't waste my time at all. Like I said, I'm a Scorpio, so we straight to the point, direct.
Do you feel like in this dating culture that people tend to ghost more or look for closure conversations?
That's a good question. I think men in general, gay men in general, because our community is really sexual and really, I don't like the word promiscuous. I think we're very free.
We like to have fun.
You know what I mean? And we don't create a lot of relationships based on intention in the beginning. I think people feel like they don't owe people those kind of conversations. So I think people feel like they just ghost and it's the easiest thing. You've ghosted me, so I'm going to ghost the next person.
Yeah.
And it's a reciprocal cycle of people just going and ghosted. How many times would you get a closure conversation? How many times have you gotten a closure conversation from a man?
You know what? I feel like majority of the time, I'm the one that's ending it or walking away from the situation.
Oh, 'cause you're that girl.
I am.
Okay.
No, but I feel like for me, a lot of the times, I think that I spend more time analyzing the situation and deciding that it's not for me.
Yeah.
So I do provide that closure conversation. Or I say, if I think they're cool, because you know me, I've categorized a lot of the men in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain reasons why they're in my life, whether you're my drinking buddy or we go grab, you know, dinner together, we go to the movies together. I've categorized those men in my life.
Same.
My dating life is like an index. Like, who I need for what?
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of times those closure conversations are, let's just be friends.
Friends.
You know, let's not, I know you're not the person for me. I know you're not my person. Let's just be friends. I don't like to ghost because, number one, I'm a personable person. And then once I develop some type of rapport with you, I do genuinely care
and
for
it's
you.
Rude.
Yeah, and it's rude. So I won't ghost you unless something really, really had to happen in order for me to ghost you. But majority of the time, I do have closure conversations. Yeah. And I prefer like closure conversations. If somebody is wrapping it up with me, you know, I think a closure conversation is needed.
I don't ghost at all. And I'm always having closure conversations. But like you said, a lot of the men that I end up going on dates with, we end up having some sort of relationship.
Rapport, yeah.
We end up having some sort of rapport. We end up being cool, close, or we have some kind of significant relationship. So I never felt like I had to ghost anybody. And I'm also, that's weak. I don't do that. That's just, it's rude. I think you owe people just an opportunity, courtesy. That's just common courtesy. Because what you do to somebody else, they will turn around and do to somebody else. Yeah. So, especially in this community. So,
with you being, I feel like there are a lot of men out there, black gay men, that are similar to you.
With absolutely.
That, with that type of story of like never being in a relationship and they're in their
30s. Yeah.
When you go on
wait
dates.
A minute. Wait. It just kind of hit a little bit, but go ahead.
Don't talk to me about it. Talk to your
parents. Wait a minute.
No,
go ahead.
I think we are here to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
We're here to be vulnerable with our listeners and our viewers. And absolutely. I mean, that's your story.
That's my story. Absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with
that. Yeah, I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm not an anomaly at all. Yeah.
Because I mean, you've been an adult for quite some time. Mm. I've been an adult for quite some time. Now it's been 10 years that I've been single. That's a long time.
That's a long time.
And you've been single for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So do you feel like when you go on dates, people kind of question why you've never been in a relationship? And do you think for them, they may see that as like a yellow flag?
It could be for some people because it really just depends on who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. I think once you get to know me, you know that I'm a commitment person. I've had friends for, I'm 32, I've had friends for, my longest friend I've had since I was 29. Mm-hmm. I just know how to commit to people. It's just weird. I don't want to say weird. It's just been different in the space of dating and getting to know people. Mm-hmm. I also think that because we are black gay men, we start off a little bit later in life. Yeah. We don't get to date in high school. We don't get to really go on those, you know, dates. We are in our 20s. That's when we start developing our actual personalities, dating personalities. You know what I mean? And then also with heterosexual people, they're sometimes on the same level playing field. A lot of us are all discombobulated in terms of the playing field that we're on. Some of us are much more mature than others. So, I mean, even if you see it as a red flag, it's fine. I don't mind because I'm sure they're...
I wouldn't say it's ever a red flag. I'm just a yellow flag. It's like
what? Some people like slow down.
They're wondering. You know what I'm saying? I feel like there's nothing wrong with having a yellow flag. It just creates a conversation and question like as to why. I feel like for me, I've been single for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So with me being 35, probably 36, I do get people that asked, like, you've been single for 10 years. Why? And then also, we're attractive.
We're attractive, yeah.
So it's like, well, what's wrong?
Goal-oriented.
Yeah, we have
business.
We about our business. You know, we have our priorities lined up. And so that is a lot of people are like, why are you? I mean, we get it.
Yeah.
We get it more when we travel.
Yeah, we do.
Than we do in LA.
I think, especially with people like us, we're not pressed. I think, especially for me, somebody who has never been in a relationship, my transition I've changed. I'm no longer interested in like looking for one. If it happens for me, then it happens. If it doesn't, you know, which in time it will. I don't feel like I've lost anything. Yeah. Like I said, I can afford a 2-bedroom apartment in LA by myself. So what can you do for me?
Nice.
Okay.
She's in a new bill.
Okay.
She's in a new bill.
What can you do for
me? And driving that luxury automobile. She's going
to. Wait, don't tell all my business. We still in LA now.
But yeah, I agree. I think that for me, you know, I decided, like I said, 10 years ago, that I needed to focus on self-love.
Exactly.
And I feel like for my mental health, and then also for the mental health of the people that I date, I think that too, it was important for me to check myself. You know, let me check in with me mentally to figure out what's going on clear it up,
yeah,
get it together, organize, strategize, and then get back out here. Get back out here in the dating field. It's not fair,
right,
to someone.
It's not
that I am not together,
and
I want to be in a partnership with you.
Yeah.
It's not fair. And so it would have been fair for me to get in a relationship 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It wouldn't be fair.
It wouldn't be fair.
To them. Yeah. They would have been so busy handling my healing that they would not have had access to my heart.
Come on, y'all. I think...
Sign up for my services.
I do. I think that you being in this space is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you are a healed person...
Yeah.
How does that look like when you go outside and you start dating? Because a lot of people don't do that self-reflection. I think self-reflection or self-actualization is very difficult.
You want to know something funny? Being healed in dating makes dating fun.
Oh, we know, because you have a good time.
I do.
I see that roster. Okay.
We decided that we weren't going to get personal on this podcast with each other. But it's made dating fun.
Yeah.
It's made dating really, really fun.
Because you don't take it too seriously.
I take the experience mm-hmm. serious,
right.
But I also take it for surface value.
Yeah.
Whatever it is in that moment, I accept it, I appreciate it, and I enjoy
right.
it. If I go on a date with somebody and we go bowling and we have drinks and we have a good time and we laugh, and at the end of that date decide, you know what? We are better off friends.
You enjoy or, the experience.
I enjoy the experience. We had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great time, and that's it. I don't harbor any bad feelings because it didn't work.
That's such a great outlook to look at. I never thought about that. Just looking, because, you know, I think after going on I used to get so annoyed after going on a date and it just didn't really like mm-hmm. hit, you know, I would be annoyed. But I think it's starting to just understand that experiences happen. Just take it for what it is and try to move on.
Nathan, I think the problem is a lot of times your expectations drown out your experiences.
Period.
If you're going into a date with mm-hmm. all these expectations, you've already created a fairy tale in your head of what you wanted. So you're not even present for the experience with that person because you've already decided what type of experience you want. That's not fair to that person.
Before we switch gears, I just want to say that sometimes people be just boring. You know, if you got all this personality and you go into a date with somebody and they're just not like as enthusiastic as you, and you find like that you're doing a lot of the legwork, it can be a little bit exhausting.
I think it's very interesting because you know that I like more chill guys.
Mm-hmm.
So me dating, like you may think he's boring. I like that because I feel like I bring the excitement.
But I don't think those are the same things. You can be chill, but know how to carry a conversation.
Yeah, but I think making somebody feel comfortable, I've always had this natural given talent of finding the introverts in a mm-hmm. room and helping them become extroverts in a situation.
So you a predator.
No, what in the world? No. But I've always had that gift since I was in grade school.
So, yeah.
I would always befriend the introverts.
Right.
And then, you know, not make them into extroverts, but kind of be that friend that brings them out of
their shell.
In dating, it's the same way for me.
Okay.
I feel like I tend to attract introverts.
Yeah.
And then we have fun and we have a good time and I bring them out of their
shell. With your extroverted personality,
mm-hmm.
you don't find that can be overwhelming for them?
No.
Yeah.
Because I know when to turn it off. You know me.
Yeah.
When I'm at home and I'm chilling,
bonnet on, sweatpants, and relax.
Coochie cutters, and crop top. And I'm chilling. Because I talk all day for a living.
We're living, so yeah.
So when I'm home and in my space, I'm unwinding, I'm chill.
And you wanna relax.
And so that's why I think I like the introverted men or the more quieter men, because when they do come over, it's chill.
It's chill. I want to know, we travel a lot, but I want to know your experiences dating outside of LA and being in LA, because I have some comments.
You know what? Dating in LA compared to other places is, I feel like, it's limited in LA. People move to LA to chase
dreams,
not chase love.
Love, yeah.
So everybody that's here is focused on their dreams, which is amazing. But that also means that nobody's really focused on partnership and relationship. Everybody wants to have a good time, but they don't want nothing to distract them from their dreams. Now, when we go to D.C., when we go to Dallas, when we go to Houston, we always we always go
married, okay? No, we married.
We get to those cities and it's like, why are we in a relationship on this 3-day trip?
Yeah, it's like, it's crazy.
It's crazy. Woo. And it's like, but then we meet those people and they always ask us, yeah, like, why are you single? And we'd be like, because we live in LA.
We live in LA.
And then but the weird thing is, we develop some type of rapport then. Yeah. We come back to LA and it dwindles down because we're not in their city.
We're not in their city, yeah.
So I think that because those cities kind of cater to a lot of people in relationships. Mm. When we go to DC, Dallas, Houston, a lot of people, they're already in relationships or they're seeking partnership. Yeah. Here, hey, people are chasing their dreams. They've already accomplished great things. They've already bought homes. Now they're looking for people to share.
Those are settled down cities. Mm-hmm. I tend to find that here, there's a few factors that, and I'm going to get a little funny, but one, this is a very expensive city. So I think everybody's head is above water. Like everybody's just like really looking, you know, for their next gig. Yeah. Everybody's an entrepreneur or like everybody's in some kind of field where they pretty much work for themselves in the industry. Another thing is, especially if you're like us and you really love Black men, there are not a lot of Black professionals here outside of the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. And that makes it really, really difficult to start dating, you know, to date. Everybody's in entertainment. And in those spaces, those guys are either known or they're very private or they're very particular about who they're interested in getting to know. You know what I mean? And then, like, you know, just be a little shady. I think a lot of people, like, come here from, like, Kansas and, like, Mississippi, and they're, like, fours in their hometowns. Everybody gets to rebrand and be a different person. So don't laugh. You know that's my thing. So I feel like there's
not refurbished.
I do. I think there's an authenticity that are missing from the men in LA.
Yeah.
That not in LA specifically. I mean, I would say Hollywood, because that's a very important distinction to make.
Yeah.
So I think there's an authenticity that's missing from those kind of men that we actually kind of value in those other cities, that those bigger cities that we're in, settled down cities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, like I said, we can go to a Houston and a Dallas. In a DC.
Oh, when you say Texas, I just get so excited.
You know how it is. But we go there and we immediately find, you know, people that we vibe with. Yeah. And it's hard for us to leave.
Come on.
I'm trying to talk. Maybe y'all can help me. I'm trying to talk Nathan into us renting houses in DC, Dallas, and Houston this summer. Just 3 or 4 weeks at a time, we bounce from city to city and we just explore.
That could be a show. Give us some money so we could go ahead and do it and we'll film it and record it.
Yeah. But I think that would be such a great idea, because I feel like, number one, I mean, maybe season two of our podcast could be in those cities. But then also, I feel like we can really figure out, you know, how dating works in those cities. I've never lived in DC.
Yeah.
I never lived in Dallas. I lived in Houston for like 6 months. So I really don't know how their dating life is opposed to how it is in Atlanta and LA.
I'm curious to know if the people that are in those cities, like, they're just talking trash because ain't nothing going on here. Like, I'm curious. I wonder if they feel that way.
We would be talking mess if we only visited once.
Yeah.
We were in Houston 3 times last year.
I think I went 4.
I didn't make that
quarterly.
I didn't make that third trip. You know, I was in a situation. Yeah. But as soon as that situation was over, we hopped on the plane and went back to Houston. I had to make up for that loss.
Let's talk about your sex life as a single person.
Yeah, what about it?
How has it been? Oh, you know, 10 years of being single, you've been scrubbing it, doing it, enjoying it. How has your sex life as a single person evolved, changed? Where are you on that, on the spectrum of sex?
For me, I think that to get a little bit, I say, deep, you know, there were a lot of things that transpired in my 20s in relationships and outside of relationships that made me just very cautious of, like, sleeping around. And I think for me, you know, I was often, like, scared of sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is pre-prep.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I was scared of sex because of what was happening to a lot of beautiful men in our generation at that time. And so it made me very nervous about having sex. And then I had a situation, a huge situation happen, a huge scare that really turned me off to sex.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, celibate for 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to, like, coming out of celibacy, you know, it's really a crazy story. I don't know how personal we want to get on this podcast, but it's really a crazy story where, like, I actually, like, a doctor instructed me to come.
Prostate thing.
Yeah. A doctor actually like instructed me, you know, to come out of celibacy. Like you need, because I wasn't ejaculating. I wasn't jacking off.
So it was just, it was dry.
I wasn't doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And I needed, you know, I needed to have, to release as a grown man. And so even when I started back having sex, I was what they consider now a side. I was more interested in the oral. I was more interested in the jack-off sessions and things of that nature because I felt like that was safer.
That was safer.
For me. But then also, I started to enjoy that aspect of sex more because back in the day, if I could be transparent, we used to just bust it down and go.
And go. I mean, back in the day, we still here. I mean,
we still here.
We still
do it.
We still here some days, you know, holidays.
Yeah. But I feel like now, you know, we have a name to call it. Mm. We didn't have anything to call it.
Yeah.
But I think now as a single person, I think that, you know, my sexual experiences, once again, you know, with certain people, I categorize them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tend to keep like my dating list and my sex list are two different things.
Yeah.
You know, as a single person.
I know that.
Yeah. You know, I keep two people on that sex list, and that's it.
Right.
Because sexually, that's all I can handle. What about you?
I will tell you that learning how to disassociate sex and intimacy and those two things have really saved my life in terms of me just enjoying sexual experiences with people and it not being bigger than what it is. I tend to find that in our community, we will misconstrue sexual things and turn it into things that they are not. And, you know, you used to do that in your 20s, in your early 20s. But, you know, I earned a lot of agency in my life, you know, in my late 20s. And, you know, sex is fun. I enjoy it. I have, you know, I have a lot of it here and there. And I tend to people end up being in like these sexual relationships with me all the time because, you know, I'm just a fun girl. I'm a good person.
You're a good time.
And, you know, I got a good cat. So,
yeah!
So, you know, that works. But also just like, I think learning how to disassociate those two things really helps, you know, especially in a community like this where everything's just so fluid.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, you know, misinterpretation of boundaries. I'll say that.
I think what you said is very interesting in terms of like going between intimacy and sex.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, I love intimacy.
Mm.
I love to.
Yeah, you.
I'm very sensual. Mm-hmm. You know, I love to lick, rub. You know, like I love the sensuality of sex.
Mm.
So having like those random like hookups are harder for me,
right?
Because I like the sensuality of sex. So that's why I think for me, I just keep it limited to having sex with certain people because I don't. It ain't a hit it and go.
Yeah,
you know, it's a we want to eat, we chilling, we hit. We nap, we cuddle, we hit again. Like there's an experience that is limited.
Yeah.
And I don't want to share with everybody, nor do I feel like my body does not, I could be attracted to you.
But it won't activate.
But my body, my sexually, like I don't desire you
in
that
way. You don't desire them. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like there's nothing wrong with either or. You can be in those spaces. You can be in spaces in the middle. So don't ever feel like because you are fun and you have a lot of fluidity in your sex life that there's a problem. Or if that you're not really into sexual experiences like that, there's also an issue. You can be anywhere in the middle. Let me ask you about sexual position.
Ooh,
do they matter to you?
To me, you know, they don't because, I think for me.
go ahead.
I'm number one, I'm verse.
Okay.
Number two,
a flip flopper.
Like I'm a flip flopper. And, you know, for me, like, I desire people based on their personality.
Okay.
And, you know, how I'm feeling in that moment. I think that's why being versus is better for me because how am I feeling? What do I want? Do I want your cat? You know, or do I want your sausage? Like it just depends on how I'm feeling, how you feeling, who more prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just so many things. So for me, it doesn't matter because I can date a top. I can date a bottom. I can date somebody verse.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think it just depends on a person. Just that overall, just encompassing the conversation. No, not me. I'm just saying.
Oh, no.
This is about me.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. You pulling down my driveway. I'm getting yours.
Well, for me, I always say it does. I don't want to say it does matter, but it does matter. Like, I for me, I just feel like I'm not going to waste my time.
Yeah. Well, because you know what you are.
But I don't ask people what they are. I tell them what I'm doing.
What are you?
You know exactly what I am, and the energy that I'm giving. I don't have to say what I am, but you know, I'm a full bottom. Mm-hmm. But I'm flexible. So. Yeah. You know, I lesbian sometimes.
Definitely. You should love lesbian.
No. But yeah, I just kind of feel like I don't ask people what they are because I don't think... I also feel like there's a stigma around people like being honest about their sexual positions.
Well, I think that's so weird.
Like, it's weird.
Because I feel like at the end of the day, somebody has to be one or the other in a situation. There is nothing wrong. It's more so like the bottom shaming, which we see a lot of. You know, even in arguments, we see people arguing. The first thing I say, girl, you a bottom. Well, what's wrong with that? Somebody got to be.
I think people are not comfortable in that. You know?
Why?
And then there's like also a lot of stigma around like
if you are getting more pleasure from being penetrated, there's nothing wrong. Get your pleasure, sis.
Yeah.
Get your pleasure, bro. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yesterday about dick monsters. You know, that's also like something that's like a
big thing.
Yeah. So it's like, I think there is a lot of stigma. There's a lot of conversations around like being a full bottom or bottoming that people don't really want
to
attach.
Somebody has
to themselves.
Do it. So why not accept?
Oh, people do it. People don't have a problem bottoming. They have a problem saying that they are a bottom.
There's nothing wrong with
that. There's nothing wrong with that.
There is nothing wrong with it.
Have fun and do what you want to do.
Arch your back, boo. So recently on Twitter, there's been a conversation happening.
What's the conversation?
About how often you should talk on the phone with somebody that you are getting to know.
Mm.
So in a given day, how often should you talk to somebody that you're getting to know?
For me, I like to say that I'm an adult. If I can check in with you in the morning and check in at night, that's enough for me. You know, if we don't get to it in the middle of the day, that's also fine. But I think there is a consistency and a routine that you have to establish with somebody for them to take you seriously. Especially for me, we don't have to have a long, drawn out conversation. You're not my girlfriend, but we can. I just want to hear from you. Hey, how you doing? How's everything going? And whatever.
And I think for me, I think it's important. If I'm getting to know you, how else am I going to get to know you?
Yeah.
If we're not having consistent conversation. Mm-hmm. Understand, we all work.
Yeah.
You know, I work long hours at times, but I'm still able to provide you with at least a midday call, evening call, text throughout the day. There is nothing like you working, you look over on your phone, and bae is like, how's your day going?
Yeah.
Or, you know, hit me up when you get some free time, or I miss you. There's nothing like that. And getting to know somebody.
I'm a bad texter, though.
You are a bad texter.
I don't text my friends. Don't text me. Like, call me.
This is the person that had a cordless phone.
I be 13, on it.
And it go dead. Yeah. And she went to grab her mama's cordless phone.
Mixing people on the line, FaceTime. I love being on the phone. I'm on the phone.
Nathan loves when I'm more of a texter. I enjoy texting more than I enjoy talking on the phone. So I talk all day.
I'm not texting nobody.
So, but I feel like in a given week, if it's 7 days, I should talk to you every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether it's 30-minute conversation, hour conversation, 15-minute conversation, I share your voice daily, and we should be texting.
We should be texting.
Yeah. I think it's important. How else you going to get to know somebody?
I feel like in the beginning, that is fair. You also demand the amount. I think people need to communicate the amount of communication that they need in order to establish a great relationship with somebody. So,
as we close out the show, if you had to give like one dating tip, what would it be?
Be authentic, be honest, and don't be afraid of what you like and what you desire and expressing that. How about you?
My dating tip would be love yourself. In a relationship and out of a relationship, make sure that you are in love with yourself before you start dating.
Yeah.
It's going to make your dating life 10 times better if you love yourself.
Fun and free and all that stuff.
So, y'all, thank y'all for listening to the first episode.
This is our first episode. We're so proud of it. Yes. We're excited for y'all to see it.
Yeah. So, daters, make sure y'all tune in to the very next episode of On a Date, Kinda Nervous Podcast. Make sure y'all share. Make sure y'all like. Make sure y'all subscribe.
Comment, all that.
All that. We'll see y'all on the next date.
All right.
Take care.